Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, Radiant Light Beings. I just love that little tune, Happiness, by my friend DJ Petey at moontribe.org. And I want to say hi to everyone also in the chat room. I see you. And I wrote a hi in the tune, but I want to say it again. Boy, and Petey comes back playing again. Anyway, hi, everyone. This is Michelle Mache with Awakenings. And I know you're all living awake and waking up even more and more. Just want a little reminder for everyone that now we're airing on Fridays, and you know that because you're here, but Awakenings is airing every Wednesday and Friday now, 12 to 1, and replays every Saturday and Sunday on CosmicDimensions.com, which Cosmic D, as I call it, is a really cool station, a lot of music. So those of you that are more into music, chill music for the, you know, playing in the background for whatever you're doing or just listening on your computer, it's a great station. Now, to call in or listen, and you can ask questions. Our guest today is amazing, as you will all soon see. But you can call in to listen or just call in to ask questions at 347-539-5122. And also, you can ask questions in the chat room. And I think we're just going to jump right in. So today, I'm, like I said, just so excited because Robert, our guest, Robert Wilkinson, is really, 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 really busy. Some of you may have read his amazing blog that got too big for salon.com, had to move over for more space. But he is an astrologer, futurist, metaphysician, an author, and also has the blog AquariusPapers.com. So I really want to give a warm welcome to Robert Wilkinson. Hi, Robert.
Thank you, Michelle. Hi.
Hi. So
glad to be here.
Yeah, I'm so glad you could fit us into your El Paco schedule.
Well, things are flying pretty fast and furious for a lot of people I know. It basically, the only ones that it isn't going fast and furious are the people that have their heels dug in and are resisting the flow.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, isn't it about not resisting right now?
This is one of the most accelerating periods in recent history. Hmm. And there's so much being shaken loose as a result of past and present eclipses, as well as the configuration that I've termed the grand irrationality,
mm-hmm.
that at this point, I use the metaphor that we're all learning how to be very good surfers right now.
Mm.
We're learning how to shift balance, shift proportion, mm-hmm. shift perspective. Sometimes things come in so fast right now, it requires us to be very present mm. and very mindful about what we're doing, feeling, and thinking so that we really can move through these rapidly shifting times with a minimum of gear grinding and gear jamming.
Mm-hmm. You know, what I find interesting is it used to be that more of us on the fringe, the light workers or starseed light beings, the ones who were kind of doing this work and have this awareness, we were the ones saying things are speeding up and things are so quick and all these changes and what's going on in the world or what's going on in the universe. Now it's like mainstreamers. Everyone is saying, and I don't care what age, from, you know, 14, 15 years to 80 years old plus, people are noticing that something is different and we're moving more quickly.
I believe that there were some definite events that showed that the time stream altered some years ago,
mm-hmm.
and it's really a quickening on a global mm-hmm. level, because right now the transfer of information has become virtually instantaneous,
mm-hmm.
and as a result, it's pretty safe to say that the global brain is highly active. Even if parts of it aren't functioning very intelligently,
okay.
it's still highly active. The neural impulses across humanity and connected across the different realms of nature as well, because we're part of nature,
mm-hmm.
the neural connections are functioning faster and faster and faster. Everything has quickened now. And people find reasons why it's quickening. They can say, oh, it's the end of time, or it's the 2012 rendezvous, or it's, you know, the Great Pyramid prophecies, or, you know, you can call it anything you want.
Yeah.
But really, it represents almost like a micro period within the shift of the great ages. And the great age is over 2,100 years, and so as a result, it ticks at 70 years per degree, approximately, 72 years per degree. So we are right at the cusp of that shift from the old age to the new age, when everything will seem to be changing a lot faster. Probably taken from a broader historical perspective, it's doing the same thing it's done every 500 years for thousands of years. But for those of us that are actually caught trying to live the changes day by day, it's easy to see that the world of the 1950s, 60s, 70s is completely different than the world of the 21st century.
Completely. And what do we do to keep up? That's the surfing, I guess, huh?
I guess that's the surfing. Well, plus the fact that there's really only one game in town, and it's the spiritual game, and it's all about realizing and then applying those realizations and then utilizing your experiences to distill forms of love and wisdom and intelligent action as we move through the ever-changing, impermanent experience of being eternals who have a body, we have feelings, we have a mind, but we are an eternal nature moving through all these changes, all these challenges. Everything is grist for the mill of our soul so that we can actually bring a higher function, a higher awareness, a greater, call it confidence in that which is true with the knowledge of that which is not working because it's not true. So everything right now is serving us to bring forth a higher awareness. It doesn't mean that it's easy. Usually nothing great gets created in comfort.
I'm glad you're saying that, because a lot of people, and I'm going to call it right here, right now, there's sellouts. I mean, a lot of these books out there, they're leaving out major chapters of the hell they went through to get where they are. I mean, yeah, it's great to evolve and be expanded, but there's challenges, you know? And I'm glad to hear you say that it's difficult or challenging, you know?
Well, it is said that we've created the tendencies in this life from prior lifetimes. And so as a result, a lot of what happens to us in any given life, we don't really understand what we did to supposedly create that reality. And sometimes we didn't create it. It was created by circumstances that we have to respond to. And what we do bring forth is our tendencies. The specifics around the lessons and how we're going to learn them are left relatively undefined, except as we choose how we want to be and play out our character, that creates those circumstances wherein at some point we have a rendezvous with our own destiny. Mm-hmm. We have a rendezvous with our own higher self, and we have to confront those karmas and respond appropriately. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we have to simply be where the buck stops, where the suffering is laid on us, but we're not going to carry it forward.
Mm-hmm.
Other times we have to transmute the negativity into something as positive as we can. It doesn't always mean we're successful or feel good about it or have perfect knowledge or anything else, because we are humans. You know, we really are spiritual beings having this human experience, trying to figure out how to do and feel and think as best we can, given the lack of roadmaps and training when most of us were young.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of us were raised by sages or saints in wise circumstances. We learned really ineffective responses to deal with the great challenge of bringing the higher and the soul into manifestation, not just once or twice, but as an ongoing way of doing our being. So Yes, there are many types of hells and challenges and difficulties. All that we can do is keep bringing forth the best, highest response we can. And at some future point, we're not going to be stuck in the suffering, mm-hmm. in the ignorance, in the attachments and the aversions and the illusions. We'll be on center mm-hmm. in our heart, loving, wise intelligence, so that we can move through all of the fluxes, all of the changes, all of the inevitable endings in an impermanent world without falling into confusion, without falling into suffering, without falling into bad attitudes.
And as we do this, don't you find that there's an up-leveling and an upshifting? We are then able to up-level or upshift and evolve if we do the best that we can or the highest good, clear what needs
to be. If we practice a habit. If we practice a habit of trying to think, feel, and do the best we can, eventually, because we're not generating negativity, there will be a lightness. There will be a less resistance and less of a problem. But it just takes perseverance in remembering that bad attitudes can't help us deal appropriately with whatever curveballs life throws us. I mean, bad attitudes may be understandable, but they're kind of a useless tool to deal with the challenges of life. You know, that it doesn't do us any good to lose our equilibrium when somebody does something really nasty to us. All that we can do is try to figure out the right way to respond. Sometimes we do better, sometimes we don't do better. Sometimes we have more information, sometimes we don't, but beating ourselves up for not doing perfectly doesn't help the situation either. All of this is really about being mindful in the now that life is a series of challenges because it's impermanent, you know, and we do get attached, and there are things that we avoid, and there are illusions, and we've learned some unfortunate responses, and there is this tendency for the human mind to go into some pretty funky places as a result of the illusions and attachments and aversions and the misunderstandings. And so the giving ourselves a hard time is not going to solve the situation. And so all that we can do is really try to remember that as we continually move through our experiences, whether something good seems to be happening or being taken away, whether something bad seems to be happening or is hanging around longer than we would like, the trick is to find the right position toward that particular experience and bring as much wisdom as we can out of it, because eventually we'll be able to handle those difficult situations a lot easier. And we sometimes, at that point, once we are fairly good at dealing with certain situations, we wind up being part of the corrective force of nature herself. And we find ourselves in other people's situations where we can share our experience or our wisdom or our love or our intelligence or our technique of solving that situation and help them a little bit more. It's like a pay it forward type of thing. Every time we get something, then we're usually put in the position of getting to help someone else who also is dealing with that particular thing. And that's how we come to know our spiritual community.
Absolutely. And that's so true. It's not always about us. A lot of times what we're learning or going through is to connect with someone else, to be present for them. Now, Robert, I wanted to jump into something here, because before we went on air, I mentioned about my little experience, the sabotaging energy that was directed my way from a certain being. But for the greater good, got me going in a different direction also. But you were mentioning about the solar eclipse, and you said that we're really releasing these energies, this shadow material, to kind of break free. Can you touch a little bit on the, I guess, the solar eclipse and the lunar eclipse, and how that is of releasing, or what is that configuration, I guess, helping us all do?
Sure. Maybe a little background on what an eclipse is would serve the audience.
Okay.
An eclipse, a solar eclipse is a new moon. Mm-hmm. We have new moons every month, but the solar eclipse is a very special new moon because it falls on the axis of what are called the moon's nodes. And this is a bunch of astrophysics that I'm sure very few people are interested in. But let's just say the phenomenon that occurs based on the moon's orbit, the sun's orbit, and the moon and Earth's orbit around the sun, and it creates these anomalies. Four times a year, we get two solar eclipses every year, we get two lunar eclipses every year because of where the sun, moon, and Earth are.
Mm-hmm.
And some places have more of a shadow, some don't see the shadow at all. A solar eclipse is a new moon. A lunar eclipse is a full moon. We're having a full moon tomorrow night that's very close to the moon's nodal axis, and so therefore it's called an eclipse, a lunar eclipse.
Okay.
Now, in olden days, they used to think eclipses were uniformly bad. Wherever the shadow touched, spelled doom and gloom and endings and disasters, et cetera, et cetera. Now, in that regard, it's important to remember not every ending is a bad thing. Sometimes endings bring blessed relief. Sometimes that which we're liberated from is the best thing that could happen to us. Okay?
Mm.
And in astrology, according to the ancients, the way that we measure an eclipse effect is not simply what countries the shadow falls on, but also the duration of the eclipse.
Mm.
And so for solar eclipses, they were considered very powerful. The number of hours that an eclipse lasted, a solar eclipse, equated to the number of years that that eclipse would be in effect. With a lunar eclipse, the number of hours equaled the number of months that the eclipse was in effect. So, for example, the lunar eclipse that's coming up tomorrow
mm-hmm.
is going to last 3 hours.
Okay.
And therefore, it will have an effect for the next 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
So, I get a lot of questions on my blog site about, they're really afraid that this eclipse is going to be some big deal. Well, if it is, it's only going to be a big deal for the next 90 days. Okay. And then after that, theoretically, this eclipse will not be quite so powerful. So, of course, time and experience being a continuum, if something sort of unravels in our life for the next 3 months while other things bring us long-term relief, well, I'd say that that will have future effects beyond the immediate period of time.
Mm-hmm.
Of somewhat longer duration and therefore more important is the recent solar eclipse of August 1st, which lasted for about 2 hours. So that eclipse will have very strong effects between August of 2008 and August of 2010. Now, the upshot to this is, yes, other solar eclipses are still exerting an influence on all of us, whether we know it or not.
Okay.
And of particular importance is that there was a sequence of eclipses in late 2006 into 2007, which because of the degree positions and the configurations going on, they're still in effect, but there was some really long-term shaking the tree where we have all escaped or are in process of escaping from a narrow destiny. That in some way, all of us have had to hear some kind of metaphoric call that has shaken us loose from an old narrow way of doing our being, and we've all begun at least to graduate into another whole realm of work, of service, of health, of discipleship. And, there's a lot of ways to get to self-realization, but, some people take a more extreme and even destructive or negative way because of some very powerful solar eclipses in the autumn of 2006 and the spring of 2007 that are still in high effect right now, at the last degrees of Virgo and Pisces, they were mm-hmm. both squaring Pluto. And a square to Pluto is a very powerful purification through dynamic challenge. And Pluto is on the galactic center for the first time in 250 years. So we're all getting these signals.
Yes,
from the heart of the galaxy that is transforming our entire world in galactic ways. And so it's impacting our Earth. It's impacting our solar system. It's impacting every creature on Earth. And unfortunately, some aspects that are difficult are going to lead some people to really lousy, destructive responses.
Mm-hmm.
Some are going to allow people to take that left turn at Eternity Boulevard so that they're no longer trapped in that old narrow reality, the old narrow work, the old narrow interpretations. Mm-hmm. It's just all how we handle frictional energies. And we're all trying to purify something. We're all trying to break out or break free from something. We're all trying to get on track in a big way somehow, each according to their unique both process and evolutionary state of being. And as I say, even sometimes a destructive act can lead to a productive outcome depending on how we handle the energies. And you might say the attitudes that we don't cop toward the people and circumstances that are challenging us. Because the fact is that some people, they're on a downward spiral.
Yeah.
And they're going to have to hit bottom before they figure out that destructive attitudes and destructive behaviors aimed toward another person cannot make them happy and cannot help them accomplish what they seek to accomplish. But see, that's an ego delusion.
Yes.
And as long as people still have that particular ego delusion, they're going to do what they're going to do. It's our job not to respond unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
Or if we do get angry, we make it Elizabeth Kubler-Ross's 15 minutes of righteous anger, and we don't allow it to go much beyond that because we don't want it to turn into toxic anger.
Absolutely. You know what I ended up doing with the situation that I think I briefly mentioned about the and what brought this up is looking at it energetically and seeing, okay, what is this energy bringing to me? You know, how can I use this energy to move forward? You know, so that would be my suggestion also with like what you're saying is if how can we respond? And you're talking about responding wisely. I think if there is let's say sabotaging energies or situations where people want to perhaps take a lower road towards a situation. What I've been doing is looking at the energy beyond that and saying, okay, what is this representing to me? You know, like this person is very out there in the world, so I decided, okay, I'm just going to go more forward. I'm going to use this energy instead of wallowing in it, right, letting it overwhelm me. I'm going to take hold of it and use it, you know, in my path to move me, you know, forward in a sense.
I try to remind people on the website that there's no point in giving the illusion more power than it deserves.
Yes.
And if we waste our energy, you know, dancing with destructive energies, well, the one thing we can do is redirect our energies so that we're not wasting our precious time, energy, and money dancing in difficult situations with difficult people 1 second longer than we need.
Yeah. And you know what I find? A lot of the people that are doing this, because there's a lot of shadow material up right now, and I find it interesting about that Batman came out at this time when we've got this, you know, huge revealing of a lot of shadow material that needs to be integrated. And like you said earlier, Robert, transmuting. We all have to remember we have to transmute this energy. Can't get rid of it. Got to transmute it. But there's a lot of this shadow material that's up right now, and you can see people responding, you know, out of not the light, meaning out of, you know, out of ignorance.
This is part of the initiation of the world.
Mm.
Okay, we finally come to an evolutionary point where humans have to figure out that they really are a part of nature, that we cannot continue just to pursue insane desires, insane vanities, insane fears, insane ways of being in the world that are ultimately destructive to life. And because we've hit that point where the world itself is seeking its own version of personality integration, getting all the minerals and plants and animals and humans and angels and devas and masters and guides and everybody else. We're all having to get on the same page,
mm-hmm.
you know, in terms of the great evolutionary leap that's going on with the planet itself. It's absolutely necessary because we've now hit the point where we cannot continue to pollute. And there's a mental pollution, just mm-hmm. as there's a physical pollution. There is an emotional pollution. And humanity has been so thoughtless in its destructive thought forms, its destructive feelings, its destructive behaviors, that it's easy to get overwhelmed by the pollution. And that's why, at this point, we are all learning to make the conscious choice
mm-hmm.
of either playing to the pollution or trying to, shall we say, recycle what we can recycle in ways that we can turn the garbage thoughts, feelings, and behaviors into a positive momentum in whatever is our particular local field of activity. There is a lot of shadow material out there, but it's only because humanity has not acknowledged its divine estate
mm-hmm.
as being co-creators
mm-hmm.
with all that is, so that we really can bring forth miracles and wonder. Most of the time, our miracles and wonder are jammed by people's fears and vanities and desires and attachments.
Mm.
And that's what we're having to deal with.
So in a way, are you saying, Robert, these solar eclipses are releasing us from what's limiting us in a way? So some of the stuff that's happening, even if it seems on the outside or externally negative or is difficult or challenging, is ultimately cracking us open in a way to be more fully us and be more fully on our path to do what we're meant to do? Is that part of what's
happening? Yeah, I mean, the metaphor of a solar eclipse is that for a brief period of time, the big light is shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that even, you know, if the solar eclipse is total, we can actually see the stars in midday.
Mm-hmm.
So we get to see other light sources.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've found in my practice in the last 35, 40 years, however long I've been doing it, is that eclipses effectively shut things down.
Mm-hmm.
They shut down an old light of life. And that brings me back to what I said earlier. Sometimes we must end the chapter, shut the door, close things down, do something else, think something else, see the light from another source. Because in my old days as a television producer and director, I realized that the only way you could dispel a shadow
mm-hmm.
on the subject being videotaped is to do three-point lighting,
mm-hmm.
and that dispels the shadow. Well, it's the same thing in any given thing in this world. We must learn how to view something from multiple angles of light.
Ooh.
Otherwise, we get shadow material.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Well, so let's slow this down and listen to that. So in a way, if I'm understanding you right, we're being required to view what we're saying is happening to us, which is just the ego personality, but we have to learn to view what's happening to us from different viewpoints or different points of view, not just the viewpoint that we had before, or saying, oh, this they did me wrong or this situation is bad.
Right.
We have to get outside of that and view differently.
We have to illuminate any given experience from multiple angles in order to really see it without the shadow.
Robert, I've got major goosebumps. This is the key.
Well, yeah, the thing is, though, is it's not just sort of idle speculation
right. And,
you know, griping from a multiplicity of things.
It really does have to do
with finding the eyes of enlightenment, the eyes of compassion, the eyes of wisdom, the eyes of understanding, the eyes of dispassion, the eyes of detachment, the eyes of divine discrimination, the eyes of positivity, and the will to good, so that we can view the experience without allowing the shadow to dominate the perception.
Yeah. But you know, I can feel this because when I was going through the situation, I was getting, and it was like, I felt like my heart was being cracked open more. So in a way, this situation that was difficult and I didn't understand how this was, someone could do this to me, quote unquote, me, my little ego personality. What it did do, though, looking at it, something from different points of view, began to crack me open more and have more light and more compassion, but still feeling the discomfort and the pain of something being done to the emotional body. It's a weird juxtaposition because then you feel this heart opening and you feel more light coming in. You see these other point of views and how it fits into the greater plan, you know, the divine destiny, this original, you know, matrix of light that's opening more and more for all of us. But then we still have our little personality ego part, you know.
It's all part of learning that to be perfectly human, we have to feel all the feelings humans feel.
Mm-hmm.
And they aren't just the good feelings. There's sometimes it's the bad feelings. The
mm-hmm.
trick is that as you're feeling bad feelings, not to yield to helplessness, hopelessness, being a sourpuss, copying an attitude toward our brothers and sisters, you know, copying an attitude toward life or toward the spirit, but to really be able to move into those deep feeling spaces so that in the future when we're with our friends and our relatives and other people that are in equally funky feeling spaces, we don't feel paralyzed. We don't feel helpless. We don't feel like we have to run away as fast as we can to get away from that negativity. We can hang out with it. It's not us. We don't take it into us, though sometimes, I mean, there are transmutation exercises where, you know, there are people who literally can go in and they're almost like empathic healers where they can go and just sit with somebody in deep feeling pain. And by sharing that space, they actually, you know, lighten things up. They move the energies along because they're coming at it from radical compassion or wisdom or love. It's just all part of being a human being. For example, one of the other things I briefly mentioned, it's this configuration that I've termed the grand irrationality. And we've been in it now since the mid-90s. It's going to be with us for about another 10 years, and it's why things are so hard-edged, weird, sometimes obsessive-compulsive, why things don't make any sense, and why we're all constantly thrown into making major choices and changes a minimum of 21 major times a year, and in a lesser way, but sometimes just as important, 7 times each month. And, you know, people say, why are things so weird? Why are people acting so irrational? Why are things so crazy? What's with these obsessions and compulsions? Well, it's just a function, call it, of the time field. It's part of the time-space continuum. We just happen to have gotten into this weird, non-rational phase. We haven't been in it since the 30s. We're going to be out of it again within 10 years. We're going to be moving into a much more sane and productive way. But until then, things are going to be just really hard-edged and weird, and we have a lot of very important decisions to make, probably faster than we would like to make them, without reason working so well. We can't reason our way through a lot of this stuff.
And so you think this lasts another 10 years?
Yeah, and
okay.
People are really, you know, they're starting to get really, you know, they're losing it at times because none of it makes any sense. And the usual frames of reference, logic, order, discipline, sometimes just don't work real well. So, given that that's the situation, we really have to learn how to pull our bodies, feelings, and mind working together the best we can to be our higher self, moving through these really weird, whacked out, irrational, obsessive, compulsive periods. It doesn't do us any good to feel badly because it's so weird. I mean, we can feel badly, but that's not going to really help us as we learn how to maneuver our consciousness in our personality through all of the choices, changes, challenges, disruptions, all the inevitable grasping and betrayals and all the people taking the low road instead of the high road. It's just that's their choice. I mean, we can't do much about it except continue to be as high as we can be and avoid the situations, if it's possible, where we can be sabotaged. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we can't because, as I reminded you, I mean, we're still dealing with eclipses and really hard-edged squares to Pluto that were set into motion 2 years ago that are still in our faces.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, other people are going to respond as they respond. We can only really determine how we are going to respond.
Mm.
And that's where it's really important to remember, I believe, that we've all suffered losses.
Mm.
We've all had lesser, if not greater, betrayal. We've all been sabotaged in one way or another, and every time this happened to us, we grieved. We grieved the loss of the supposed friendship, the loss of the thing, the loss of the hope, the loss of the possibility. And so when people go into grief, they usually don't like being there. They feel really badly, and often they are told to either suppress it, deny it, or reproject it onto somebody.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, because the world is a lot like the blind leading the blind. I mean, we were never raised to really know how to deal with deep pain, deep grief, frustration. Most people are just told to be strong, be hard, get over it. And while these work to some degree some of the time, there are other times when we really need to go much deeper into that human, I guess, quality. It's a timeless human quality that we all have, what I've termed one of the seven sacred wounds. And that's another topic for another talk. But leave it to say that everybody has gotten their gears jammed in a huge way at some point in their life. It might have been when they were infants. It might have been when they were children. It might have been when they were teenagers. It might have been when they were young adults. It might have come from your family. It might have come from your friends. It might have come from your partner. No telling, but at one point or another, everybody's gotten hurt. And the trick is not to pass that forward. It's to really break the link between pain and suffering. Life is painful, but we don't have to suffer.
That's right.
And we are not helpless there.
Right.
We do have certain tools that we know that can help us break the link between pain and suffering. We just have to apply them.
You know, and I so agree with what you're saying. I find in this situation, probably more deeply than other times, is to be able to go into that space of reflection and say, even how have I done this in the past? Or, you know, you look at the whole panoply of experiences and feelings, and as Evolution Muse is saying in the chat room about being cracked open, that's what I feel this is doing to all of us. It's about just really opening and, you know, taking care of the emotional body and whatever emotionally comes up. But like you said earlier, Robert, viewing things differently, getting these different points of view, more expanded points of view. And for me, what I realized too, sometimes there is a completion. You know, I don't want to say karma, right? And you just know you need to do the right thing. And that's what I felt. I'm just going to do the right thing for what I know, for the highest good. And whatever else happens, that's up to that, you know, God, all that is, collective unconscious prana. But we can only do what we're guided to do for the highest good in the moment. Once you get, which I find that's where, for me, the meditative state is so important, is getting out of that little lower mind and doing what is the greater good. Still taking into account that part of us, but going to that place, as you said earlier, getting that, you know, higher view, if you will.
I have a lot of clients in my counseling practice as an astrologer. And I find that a lot of times they really are relieved when I can tell them that a certain phase of their life is over, that they really don't have to be plagued by those echoes of memories, of perceptions, of memories, of perceptions, that stuff that rattles around in our subconsciousness or even the unconscious mind that links us to all other beings. Sometimes, look, when it's done, thank heaven it's done.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to keep dealing with it and going over it and wondering if there's more to be gotten out of it. Sometimes, no, this is just the signature. Oh, this relationship really is over, and I'm free.
I was just going to say on that note, Teresa in the chat room mentioned people falling away, and then someone else mentioned vibrational frequency, which is so true. When we shift, you know, people will, and that's what she's saying, it's not good or bad, it's just changing the vibrational frequency and brings new people up. Really, really good point. I always know that I'm going into up-leveling or up-shifting when sometimes this little stuff happens, this weirdness, because those that are not vibrating at that same level of expansion, in a sense, can't keep up, and nor should they, nor do they need to. But I think we all need to remember that. It's like it's not necessarily that something is bad, but the vibrational frequency has shifted.
One of the things most people don't understand about their astrological chart is that while those planets indicate internal qualities, they also represent people in our lives. You know, that your Jupiter represents somebody in your life. Your Saturn represents somebody in your life right here, right now. But it was probably a different person when you were younger. So like our Mars and Jupiter and Moon represent different people when we are young children than when we are teenagers. And our Jupiter is a different person when we're in our 30s than when we're in our 50s. Okay? And so often what happens is when a person leaves, it's because we've already fulfilled that planetary function. We've been there, we've done that, we got the ticket, we took the ride. We now know what that particular Jupiter or Saturn or Mars or Moon or whatever worked out in the way of life experiences, because our life experiences work out through our interactions with other people. And so sometimes the only way we're going to learn Saturn, you know, that self-discipline and the breaking free of the sense of bondage or enslavement to fear or to some limiting system, and we really can come into the dominion of driving our own boat as we see fit, which is what Saturn's about. Sometimes the person that represented that Saturn lesson to us, once we get the lesson, they have to leave.
Yes.
Okay, and there's nothing... It might be through unfortunate and challenging circumstances, but it might just be, hey, what's done is done. And you can't, you know, the moving finger writes and having writ moves on, and all the words in the world aren't going to turn back the experience.
Or lower the frequency. Once it's raised, it's raised. You can't
go, you can never go back.
Can't go
to
back.
A relationship. You can only go forward.
Yeah. So true. Now, Robert, what for each sign, what does this eclipse mean?
Obviously it means a lot of different things, and there's going to be, I could do literally, you know, a solid half hour on any given chart on the possible eclipse things, and I still wouldn't exhaust all the possibilities. But just in general, and you have to remember here, a preface.
Okay.
A full moon helps to exteriorize the seed of the preceding new moon. That it's like the new moon, then full moon, then new moon, and full moon, I've termed God's footprints in time. Because they show the big action beats month after month after month. What is the seed? What is the realization? What is the next seed? What is the next realization? And so this particular full moon coming down tomorrow really will release the seed of the preceding new moon, which was the solar eclipse on the 1st. So I'll just give like a little brief, almost like snapshot of what these two eclipses in general together represent for each sign.
Okay.
And when I say a sign, I also mean rising signs. So, for example, if I talk about Aries, this would also fit for Aries rising.
Mm.
If I talk about Leo, it also fits for Leo rising. And, of course, it's general. What I'm going to give you is general. There's no way that we can get as specific as would be valuable, because then we'd be on the phone until midnight tonight.
Right, right. And people should know this, because if they go to your blog, AquariusPapers.com, they will know how thorough you are. So this was just such a smidgy of a blip, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I've got pages and pages and pages on the eclipse effects, and even there, I can't be as specific as I'd like to be, because every chart shows us a unique pattern.
Yeah. So the best thing is for people to get their personal chart done.
Yeah, there's nobody in the world like us.
Yeah.
You know, really, because it even minutes can change the flavor and the thrust and the effect of a birth chart. So that our birth chart shows us our wholeness, our fragmentedness, how we are linked with others across space and time, and how we are unique, discrete, shining manifestations of individualized spirit.
Okay,
so for the rest of 2008, that's the best way I can focus this in.
Okay.
That for Aries and Aries rising, new forms of self-expression will come forth and be a platform for future successes. They should focus on enjoying themselves in new ways as they stabilize their work situation. For Taurus and Taurus rising, a new attitude toward home and family and a more loving view is on the way. The rest of 2008 will stabilize Taurus's lives in practical and enjoyable ways. For Gemini and Gemini rising, a new point of view is coming that will provide relief. Eliminate negative memories of the past as you regenerate. Other people will benefit you if you're willing to work. Cancer and Cancer rising. New values, new resources, new ways of using what you have will help you reshape your mind, speech, and interpretations. Open to more mature relationships with an eye to others' motives. Leo and Leo rising. A new self-image will help your relationships grow in really good ways that release you from old sorrows. You'll become more dispassionate as you see you are a steward of wealth or values. Virgo and Virgo risings are closing out an old way of seeing the bigger picture of their lives and ambitions. They need to get more practical self-discipline without rigidity and structure some play or creativity into their lives. For Libra or Libra rising, new goals, new ambitions, new friendships are on the near horizon. Be more detached regarding your creative process. Be practical in seeing what frustrates you and adjust accordingly. Scorpio and Scorpio rising, a new public life is on the way that will relieve a lot of pressure. See your home and family as friendly things that can nurture you. Mature or wise friends will offer important ideas. Sagittarius and Sagittarius rising. A new future beckons that will liberate and transfigure you. Go back to school. Study higher things. Get a bigger picture. Be organized in your finances. For Capricorn and Capricorn rising, losses will create the space that frees you for bigger things. Get a larger view of how to use what you value wisely and plan for the long haul. A fortunate encounter this year moves forward. Aquarius or Aquarius rising. New work, new relationships, new insights into who you are will awaken the angel that sleeps within. Help relieve others' pressures. You'll reap rewards for work done in the past. Pisces and Pisces rising. By adjusting your heart response to challenges, you'll grow stronger and more confident. It's time for a broader motive. Times of seclusion open inspiration. In general, for all signs, this recent solar eclipse will transfigure everyone in some way, depending on where it falls and the aspects it makes, we will all know we have made it through the night. Somehow, some way, in the next 2 years, we will be liberated in ways that help our heart come forth. And what the next 3 months is specifically about is learning a more conscious, self-aware self-sufficiency in choosing what we want to put forth rather than just acting reflexively. Everyone will have to rise to some occasion that will demonstrate their ability to have faith in themselves, to mobilize all the energies at their disposal in order to bring something that's out of control under control, and that there will be major rewards, because this is all part of building a vehicle in order to pick up and deliver a higher power down the road in 2009 and 2010. So this is kind of like a rehearsal and a practicum over the next 3 months. But really, over the next 2 years, we're all being transfigured, and our tears of sorrow will be transfigured into realizations of joy. In some way, it's an inevitability. So even, you know, rains on saints and sinners alike, well, everybody gets transfigured through being liberated from something, some old pressure.
So this all the way around is really about liberation.
This is going to be a really good set of eclipses, frankly. It may come from some pretty radical turns and changes, but, you know, again, there's times to build and there's times to dismantle, and a lot of stuff is in the process of falling apart, so we can get back to our baseline wisdom and see how it has grown over the last, I'd say, 2 years into a form of precise, effective, disciplined self-expression. And that it's leading us to an ability, once we strip away all the nonsense, to be able to take collective material and weave it together in a way that we can do our song for our world in some effective way, that we can exteriorize our unique individuality in a way that's perfect for us. And that, of course, means we have to let go of the stuff that is not us.
Yeah. And, you know, this to me dovetails with that whole idea of metaphysically and spiritually that we're creating new forms. I mean, that everybody keeps talking about 2012, well, that all this stuff is magically going to happen. And it's like, well, no, it's everything. We're in the prep period. It's by 2012 that these new forms are more in place. So part of what I'm hearing you say, Robert, is that in this period that we're going through is, in a way, we're preparing our, you know, or restructuring our body-mind vehicle, if you will, actually to have more implosion of light, more impulses from the soul. But that redirecting of this energy is, so between that 2009 time period and, as you're saying, 2010, we're already there, kind of we're already restructured.
Yeah, there's some really very challenging configurations coming up over the next few years that clearly indicate humanity is in for a wild ride. And there's going to be a lot of breakdown, breakthrough, and breaking free. And again, it all depends on the individual and their local conditions, how difficult this is going to be. But everything is striving to get us free of negative responses and people and energies so that we can really practice, you know, with mindfulness. And it's not just sort of waiting for something to happen. It's being on top of our own responses every day, every week, every month, so that we're distilling our wisdom out of all of these experiences, choosing with volition what we want to put out there, not just being reflexive, and attracting our brothers, our sisters, our community, finding our way to the wisdom and the way and the community that will be perfect for us to move into this very difficult future, so that we don't feel so alone, we don't feel so powerless, we don't feel so confused. And again, that's why every you know, so often I do try to post spiritual articles as well as astrology articles, even though I try to blend the two as much as I can, on AquariusPapers.com. Because to me, it's like the ongoing news of how to ride this wave. And there are many people, it's people all over the world come to my site, about 10,000 every week, come to the site at one time or another, and they link up with each other. You can leave comments, you know, and, mm-hmm. and there's a lot of mutual support there. And so people from various parts of the world can link up with other people who've either had similar experiences or who might have had different experiences, and they can share their wisdom and their understanding with each other as part of a global spiritual community, helping each other through these very weird, irrational, uncertain, and difficult times.
And that's what I think this is, this whole coming together that's happening, your site, Blog Talk Radio here, is this converging flow that we're, you know, all coming together.
Well, we're all in this together, whether we know it or not.
But I find, too, don't you find the linking together is very powerful? This linking, this converging flow, we're meant to connect.
Yeah, we're finding our community.
Yeah, the soul tribe.
Across space and time, we're finding those who can really love us, and we can love them, and we can learn from their wisdom, and they can learn from our wisdom, and we can offer intelligent suggestions to them and they to us, so that we don't feel so isolated and we don't feel so ignorant, because together we are smarter, stronger, and more aware than we are separately.
Absolutely. And more love. Oh, more love by coming all together. Well, my heart is definitely cracked open even more. And Robert, I just really thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and your insight in all its forms, you know, astrologically, metaphysically, spiritually, and just by you being you. And I also want to thank everyone that tuned in to listen. It means a lot to connect with all of you. And I love your comments and feedback. It really means a lot, and it just keeps everything very fresh and connected. And we're all part of this greater community and are coming together even more consciously, which I think is really important now, and also just reflecting what we're creating here on Earth, what is now being created. So anyway, again, thanks for joining into Awakenings. And again, Awakenings airs every Wednesday and Friday, 12 to 1 Pacific time. And a recap on CosmicDimensions.com. Love your feedback and emails. And if you'd like, rate the program. I guess that's good to do in the Blog Talk Radio world, right? So, all right. Lots of love to everyone. And again, Robert, thank you so much. And anybody wants to connect with Robert, you can go to AquariusPapers.com, and that will be in the archived program of this chat, dialogue, interview, as well as on my Blog Talk Radio site, or you can just go AquariusPapers.com and connect with him there. All right, again, everybody, thanks so much. Love you all, and until next time, keep awake. Wait.